connection with Clayton Kershaw. Did you watch the game last night? And did you ever hit against him growing up, you know, as a kid, either batting practice or strikeout or whatever game you played?
Yeah, definitely watched the game. Tried to stay up as long as I could to watch him. He was throwing it great. I expected, you know, nothing less, especially when I heard it was going to be hot. I knew he was going to like that, kind of bring him back to his roots a little bit, but threw it great. And, yeah, I faced him, you know, just inter-squad type stuff a couple of times. He was always not fun to hit against and wasn't afraid to, you know, brush off the plate either. So he's always been a competitor, and he was, you know, again last night. No, I'm sure over the long run he got the better of me.
Watching him play in a World Series like that big of a stage, what does it make you think of, you know, the Super Bowl and what it would be like for you if you were ever on that stage?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was really cool to see a guy that, you know, you grew up with, you know, reach that level and play as well as he did. So I was texting with a couple of my buddies I went to high school with and middle school last night, just talking about how much that guy deserves it, man. He puts a ton of work in, and, you know, they've done a great job of building that team around him, and, man, he's playing great.
Think of what the Super Bowl would be like if you're there?
I mean, if you don't think about what the Super Bowl would be like and you're playing this game, something's probably wrong with you. So, yeah, definitely think about it.
What about now, back to the less important stuff? What has the rest done for your team? And then what do you think, you know, going in the practice week and going forward, what it means?
You know, I think it's good. You know, I think guys had some stuff to take care of, start feeling a little bit better. I think we will. I think some guys will turn that corner, and that'll help us. And then from on the field stuff, we got to go out there and just play sharper, you know, play better football, execute our systems a little bit better, and find ways to win games.
How your season has gone so far?
I think probably just a little bit like our team, a little bit up and down. You know, I wish it was probably a little bit more consistent, like everybody does in this league. You wish you go out every week and play, you know, great and extremely high level and don't make mistakes, but they happen, and we got to learn from them, make sure they don't happen again.
Is there anything that you maybe learned in your, maybe if you did any studying in the week off, of why that hasn't been, why the consistency hasn't been there for you?
We definitely do a bunch of self-scout during the week, especially during the bye week. Not going to get into it with you guys, but, yeah, we definitely look at ourselves and try to find ways to be better.
Everybody plays some level of zone defense, but Pittsburgh's in it almost exclusively. What are the challenges going against a defense that's in zone so much?
Teams that play zone a high percentage of the time, the majority of the time, most of the guys on their defense have their eyes on you. You can't stare guys down, can't do all that kind of stuff. You got to try and use that to your advantage because they're trying to use it to theirs. Whether you can manipulate guys or not, yet to be seen. You just go out there and try and be sharp with your progressions and your reads. And it means that if we throw the ball underneath, we got to catch and run with it. And if we, you know, try to throw the ball deep, we got to make plays on the ball.
You're probably going to be without one of your best underneath catch and run options in Golden Tate. Just if that is the case, what are the challenges of replacing him in your offense?
Anytime good players, may or may not be, we're still really early in the week, so not sure. But anytime, guys are out of the lineup, you got to have other guys step up. And, hopefully he's feeling great on Sunday and ready to roll.
How did the bye week help you feel more rested?
I needed to take care of myself a little bit physically and mentally refresh, get away for a little bit and think about something other than football for a couple of days. And that was, what I did, and I feel better now.
Yeah, one thing about their defensively, they're second or third in the league in sacks, but they don't get it from one guy. They've got three guys with four, one with three, somebody else, I think, two and a half.
Yep.
What's it like when they've got it's almost a tag team race to the quarterback?
Yeah, there's no one guy to really clue in on. They've got quite a few. Both their linebackers are good blitzers too, so interior guys. Their guys off the edge do a great job. Their guys in the middle push the pocket well, and they're covering guys down in the back end. It goes hand in hand. They cover receivers, make quarterbacks hold the ball. They're going to get there, and every once in a while, those guys just get there on their own.
How does it affect you when you don't have consistent offensive linemen, like the physical guys, and also obviously the play as well? How does that end up affecting you?
You know, my job is to go back there and trust it every time. And as a quarterback, that's what you're ingrained to do. I can be better in getting the ball out a little bit quicker and, helping everybody out. But, for those guys, I think it's just reps together are important. And they do everything they can, whoever's in there every week, to try and get as many as they can.
General, how important tight ends, do you think, in an offense? The mismatches they can create, seems like good teams find a way to get them the ball.
Yeah, I think they're important. You know, I think having guys that can do a little bit of everything are great. You know, guys that can run down the field a little bit, guys that can block, guys that can catch it over the middle, whatever it is. You know, they're versatile players on a team, and, you know, we've got some good ones.
Seen less cushion at the line of scrimmage than Marvin Jones this season. Just a number the NFL put out. So when a guy's getting so little cushion, snap to snap to snap, what are you looking for when you're looking his direction?
I'm just, you know, every time I drop back, you know, just trying to get the ball to where the defense kind of dictates it should go. You know, there's no preconceived notion. You know, I think we've probably gotten quite a bit of press all across the board. I don't know who all is in that stat or you know, how many guys are in it. But we have tended to get some press across the board, and we just got to continue to fight and find ways to win.
You mentioned down so far, you know, your season. Just can you put a finger on why and maybe how do you fix that, I guess?
You know, that's something that, you know, you look at during the bye week, try to self-assess, not only myself but everybody around, you know, our offense, and try to find ways for everybody to be a little bit more successful, myself included. I'm not going to get into it, but yeah, it's definitely spent some time doing that.
Early in your career, a lot of the two high zones, just as a Calvin beater, I guess. But you mentioned you see a lot of press these days. Is that, I guess, a defensive trend that you see? And is there a reason for that, you think?
I think throughout the league, you're seeing less and less two Tampa, you know, that we used to all hear about and see and get. You know, I think it's – you look at teams like Seattle who have had that success playing a lot of single high defense with different type of techniques, match and zones and all that kind of stuff. You know, you look at that and you see it across the league showing up more just because they've been so successful with it. And some of those coaches that have been there have moved into other places. So probably as a league, you're seeing it a little bit less. You know, and single high is – you know, probably a little bit more in vogue. A
couple more for Matthew.
Just one thing. They've announced that Matt Prater's got an extension. I just wonder what, from an offensive standpoint and a quarterback, you'll be making your comebacks when you can maybe get, you'll get into the 35 instead of the 28 or whatever. What that means, what sort of comfort brings?
It's awesome. You know, every time we touch the ball, we want to score a touchdown, but we know we got a pretty good option if we don't. You know, he's shown the ability to make all sorts of kicks in all sorts of environments and all sorts of climates. So he's made some big-time clutch kicks for us. I think he relishes that moment, which is pretty fun to see. You know, some kickers maybe don't. And he's a gamer and does a great job for us.
What do you guys need to do to stretch the field more, get guys more open for bigger plays?
You know, I think big plays in this league come in a variety of different ways. You know, sometimes it's, geez, you throw a screen to a back and he goes for 40. You know, I don't know if it's lining up and just running four guys down the field and, you know, throwing a Hail Mary or throwing one to one guy. I think, you know, we got to make those, you know, plays happen organically. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a baseball player stepping up to the plate and you're just trying to hit a home run every single time. I think I was taught as a kid, I know they got all launch angles and exit velocity and all that stuff now, but just hit doubles and let the home runs come, right? You know, I think that's kind of got to be our philosophy. Go out there and execute at a high level and let the big ones come to you.
Brian Hawk story.
I don't have any good ones. Yep.